Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of God for our special meditation this morning is the gospel from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Hear again those words for our meditation. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our Savior, if you had brothers or sisters when you were growing up, or if you have little children of your own, the following scenario is probably pretty familiar to you. Your mom or dad comes and tells you and your brother or sister to go pick up and put away the toys before bedtime. So you, being the dutiful and obedient child, immediately go and set about to work of picking up the toys and putting them back in the places where they're supposed to go. But your brother or sister, being the lazy and disobedient child, goes and only half-heartedly begins kind of picking up the toys, maybe throwing them in the general direction of where they're supposed to go. And then before too long, that lazy, disobedient sibling is not even half-heartedly picking up the toys anymore at all, but simply off there in his own little world, playing with the toys instead of putting them away. Then you, not wanting to pick up the slack for your lazy, disobedient sibling, go running to your mom or dad, calling them and telling them to come and punish your sibling who is not putting away the toys and to make them put them away. Well, that's a scenario that often comes to mind for me when I read this section of God's word that's before us in the gospel today of Martha and Mary. To me, Martha sounds a lot like a little tattletale child running up to her dad and asking her dad to come and scold the other child who's not putting away the toys. You can almost hear the whining tone of her voice in the words that are recorded before us in our reading today. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Now, it may sound kind of funny when we read it like that, but really, that kind of attitude is anything but funny. In fact, that Martha mentality, we might call it, is a major spiritual problem in the lives of many Christians. I'm not necessarily talking about the attitude that uses those exact words that Martha spoke, nor even necessarily that same kind of situation that Martha was in, though that could also happen. For example, we might complain to God in our hearts about why God lets other people go and have fun while he leaves us to stay and take care of all the things that need to be taken care of here around church. We may have that attitude sometimes. But I think what's more common for us in regard to the Martha mentality is just that we let so many things pile up and take priority to the point that those things often end up crowding out the Word of God in our daily lives, and even perhaps on Sunday mornings. Well, maybe you're the kind of person who never misses worship on Sunday morning unless you're deathly ill in the hospital. That's just the way you were raised, and that's what you've continued to do as an adult. But even if you are here every Sunday morning, sometimes you can just be so distracted by everything else that's going on in your life that you kind of have almost an out-of-body experience. Yeah, your body is sitting here in the pew listening to me preach or speaking and singing along with the liturgy and the songs of the worship, but your mind is off in a dozen different places, finishing plans for this, thinking about how you're going to take care of that, and maybe for good measure also worrying about a few of those other things. Maybe like Martha, you're upset at someone else. And even during the worship service, you find yourself stewing about that when you know you shouldn't be, but you just can't help it. What that other person said or did was just so frustrating. And aside from Sunday morning, how about the rest of the week? Does God's word make an appearance in your daily schedule? Do you find time or do you make time to stop moving, or at least to stop your brain for a few minutes and read a chapter of God's word or a passage of God's word and think about how it applies to your life? Do you remember to pray, praise, and give thanks to God as he tells you to? Or do you find that during the week you're so busy with all the other things in your life that God doesn't really make much of an appearance in your life during the week at all? True, on Sunday mornings you may have pretty good focus on what's going on here during the worship service, but during the week you're so in the zone with all the other things that are going on, all the real life things, that there's not really much extra time to spend listening to God speak through his word and then to respond to him in prayer. Well, I personally can relate to that over the past few weeks. First, it was my family packing up all of our stuff in China after 7 years there. Then the trip with a bunch of luggage and three little kids, almost 24 hours door to door. Then figuring out how to start life as a family of five here in Chicago, almost from scratch. Then getting ready for an installation service with family and friends coming from four different states. And then this past week, trying to learn just a little bit of everything that Pastor Semensky has learned over the past 36 years. It's not that I forgot about God during all of that, but for a lot of time, I could have been described in the same way that the evangelist Luke and Jesus describe Martha in the words of our reading today. Distracted by all the preparations that had to be made and worried about many things. Is that you too, sometimes? Distracted by all the preparations that have to be made and worried about many things? And maybe sometimes you also get upset with others, just as Martha was in the reading today. Well, for all of us who fall into this Martha mentality sometimes, Jesus comes to us and snaps us out of it through the words that he speaks in our reading. He says, but only one thing is needed. In these words, Jesus tells us that all the things that distract us from God and his word, that make us worried and upset, none of those things really matter in the end when it comes to eternal life. Only one thing matters for eternal life: sitting and listening to God's word, and then telling that word to others so that they also can enjoy eternal life. Now, let's not misunderstand. Jesus is not telling us that everything that we do in life is worthless or unimportant unless it relates to listening to God's word. Even things that are primarily focused on this life rather than on eternal life are still very important. In many places in the Bible, God tells us to be faithful and diligent at our work so that we truly earn the money that our employer pays us. God tells us to respect and to pray for our government and to pay the taxes that we owe so that the government can carry out the mission that God has given to it to ensure justice and peace in society. And God tells us to provide for the needs of our immediate and extended families and for the family of believers and for all those who are in need of our help as we have opportunity and are able. All of these things are more focused on this life than on eternal life. But Jesus doesn't say that these things are bad. He simply says that by comparison to the one thing that is needed for eternal life, which is sitting and listening to God's word, none of those other things are really important in the end. With these words, Jesus calls us to repentance. He calls us to confess and repent of the times when we have become distracted from listening to God's word by all the other things that are going on in our lives. He calls us to repent of the times when we have put our own enjoyment and entertainment above as a higher priority than God's word and then feeding our faith through God's word. Jesus calls us to repent of our worry. He calls us to repent of the grudges that we hold against other people. And then through his word, he provides the remedy that we need for our frequently disordered, worry-filled lives. First of all, he assures us that by his death on the cross and by his resurrection, he has already paid for all of these sins. He has already taken them all away from us, as far as the east is from the west. He has taken away our sins of being distracted from his word, which is the one thing that is eternally important. He has taken away our sins of worrying and holding grudges against others. He has taken all these away so that now we stand before God as holy and righteous in his sight with a clean slate. And that clean slate is not just a blank slate. Our record in God's eyes contains perfect obedience, the perfect obedience of Jesus in our place. Our record in God's eyes shows all the times when Jesus had perfectly ordered priorities. Jesus was not lazy. Jesus paid his taxes. He worked hard both in his public ministry and before that. The Bible doesn't tell us specifically, but it's pretty safe to assume that from the time Jesus was a young child up through the time that he began his public ministry at age 30, he faithfully worked with his father Joseph in the family business of carpentry. And after Jesus began his public ministry, he didn't forget about the earthly needs of the people he was ministering to. He had compassion on people, healing their diseases, casting out demons, giving sight to the blind, giving hearing to the deaf, giving speech to the mute, and providing food for those who came to listen to him preach, but who didn't bring enough food for themselves for that day. But through all of that, Jesus never got his priorities mixed up. Even though he is true God, and God's word is his own word, Jesus still took time away from all the hustle and bustle. He often went up onto a hilltop or to another place where he could be alone to meditate on God's word and to pray to God. Jesus' priorities were perfect, and they were perfect for us in our place. Jesus was thinking about you and about me when he prioritized his life perfectly in those ways. Jesus did all of that so that he could give us his perfectly prioritized life to be our own in God's sight, to cover over our so frequently imperfectly prioritized lives. This amazing love of Jesus for us, this love that lived a perfectly prioritized life every minute of every day on our behalf, this love that continued through suffering and all the way to death on the cross, this amazing love of Jesus is what motivates us now and every day of our lives to prioritize our lives around what God wants, not around what this world wants for us or what we want or what the devil wants. This is not easy to do because the devil and the sinful world and our own sinful nature tell us to do whatever we want to do, whenever we want to do it, not to consider what God's word says, not to think about the consequences of our actions or how our actions might harm other people. But motivated by Jesus' love for us, we remember God's will and his priorities. We remember that the things that we do that have an earthly focus are not bad or wrong as long as they don't go against God's word, but that they should not be the number one priority for us in our lives. Only one thing will last to eternity, God's word, and the faith that it creates in our hearts, the faith that it strengthens in our hearts and in the hearts of other people. So let's keep God's word as the priority in our lives. Let's do all of our work faithfully and take time to have fun and to relax too, as God wants us to. But let's never forget that the only thing that's truly needful for eternal life is God's Word. Let's make time for that every day, whether it's reading the Bible when you get up before going to work, or listening to an audio Bible on your commute to work, or having devotions with your family members at dinner or at bedtime, or whatever other time you might be able to find during the day to read God's Word or other devotional material and to pray to God. Whatever way it is that you can get your daily dose of God's Word, don't go without it. Let Jesus' love for you remind you and motivate you to continue to feed your faith each day, since that is the only thing that is truly needed for eternal life. Amen.